Hello everyone and welcome to the Audio Mo with Paul Hopkins, VI Podcasting. I hope you're all well. This is for the 14th of June, 2022. No words really. Don't even know what that accent is. Sort of a Mrs. Doubtfire thing. That's how it started. Okay, so we're a bit late on Audio Booms, Audio Mo's, either or, today or this right now. I will talk about that, but don't want to take away from today's subject matter, so we'll come on to that another day because it will, as I said, take away from the subject matter for today. Okay, so a couple of poignant anniversaries today, or commemorations, both. The Falklands Islands War was 40 years ago. It started on this day, and it was 5 years since the tragic events around Grenfell Tower. And I can probably talk about both a little bit and just reflect on it, really. I mean, let's start with the Falkland Islands. I remember it ever so well. I was at school at the time. And there was a build-up to it. And, of course, you know, it was all newspaper stuff and radio. And there were some interesting things that happened, obviously. The build-up, people, you know, was going over there a very long way. I mean, taking ships like 6 weeks to get over there. And then the start of it. I mean, as a kid, I never thought it was a war that we would lose. But, obviously... there were a lot of casualties on either side, and it wasn't something I was particularly scared about. You know, I mean, it was happening a long way away, and as I said, I didn't think that we would lose it. But it was surprising when starting to hear about, like, I think HMS Coventry, HMS Sheffield. I can't remember all of them, so forgive me if you're a Falklands veteran, or you just know more about it than I do. And then I was sinking the Belgrano, I think it was, their submarine, one of the, and you know, there's some debate about, I think at the time, how it started and all the rest of it, how the war started. But yeah, essentially us winning. But then the awful situation where the press, I think, released the whereabouts of some of our was it paratroopers, some of our soldiers, and where they would be, and then they basically got plastered by the Argentinians, you know, and that was probably taught us a lot about embedding journalists and all the rest of it, and how exactly you do that, and all the, and that kind of thing. So again, not something, I'm not a war expert by any stretch. So I'm probably not using the right terminology and stuff, but again, just literally trawling my memories a little bit. And yeah, glad when it was all over, really. I can't remember how long it lasted. I remember going to Norway. I went to Norway that year with the Scouts, 19... Yeah, that's going to be... Oh, God, that's another memory. So yeah, 1982, went to this to Norway with the Scout troop that I was with at the time. And when we turned up with all our camping gear in our really old, the bus was an A reg, but back then, where the A was at the beginning of the at the end of the number plate, so it would have been something like, you know, I don't know, ABC 123 A, so it was an A reg, but old A. Turned up with all our camping gear, and they did a little report on us, the local paper, and said that they're bringing more equipment over. The scout troops bringing more equipment over than the soldiers in the British in the Falkland War. And yeah, we set up camp for 2 weeks. That was a nice break. I remember having a fight with my brothers. We all decided we was going to have a little pretend war. I don't know why. Subconscious, I think. Just one of those things. And it got a bit nasty. We ended up firing homemade catapults at each other and all kinds of things. And I remember my mum coming out and telling us all to stop it and break up. And wasn't it bad enough that we was fighting in the Falklands and gone to war over there? So it must have worried the adults a bit. And I think it was all around the sort of whole thing with the threats around nuclear war with Russia and just a weird time to live in. And sometimes you think nothing's really changed. I'm going to have a quick break from that. I'm going to come back to you and then reflect a bit on Grenfell Tower and my memories regarding that. So give me a second. So Grenfell Tower, well, again, who could forget that 5 years ago? And I remember that. I remember just waking up for some reason, and there was a note on my phone, I think, or it may have woken me up, I don't know, but saying that there was a report of a fire in a tower block in London. And at that point, no idea of the seriousness of it, and thinking, God, that sounds a bit bad. And I think media stuff came out quite quickly, footage of what was happening. and it was stunning in its violence and its nature. And, you know, 5 years on, we still haven't sorted it out, have we? You know, and to me, it seems like, and again, being sensitive about anyone that might have known anyone that was caught up in it and all the rest of it, or people that still live there, but I would imagine most people would agree with me anyway, but it was an awful situation. It kind of, for me, made a, what would you want to call it? It kind of made it was indicative of the government's policy towards housing, and probably successive governments, but I mean, let's face it, the Conservatives have been in the longest. If you take, you know, the I don't know, like 50, 60 years as a time span, and it's just been absolutely this. It epitomises, that was the words I was looking for. Epitomises what's wrong with the way we approach the poor, and really crap housing, and in a gentrified area. I mean, I remember I lived around that area, so I'm taking, you know, I'm not being melodramatic here, but I lived there around Westbourne Park and Notting Hill and stuff in the late 80s. And my first job was in London, see, so I lived there. And I used to say to people, oh yeah, I live in Westbourne Park. And they was like, oh my God, you don't live there, do you? And latterly, I've been saying to people, oh, I live in Westbourne Park, and completely not knowing at that point that it was gentrified. And they were like, oh my gosh, ooh, that's very posh. And I went with Claire to Little Venice just not that long before Grenfell. And so Little Venice is like a spot by the canal around there, and just by Paddington, not far from Paddington Station. And wasn't that great, to be honest. Lots of flyovers and things going over there, the big roads going over the area. And yet so much of it had been gentrified. And I'm thinking, I don't know why, really. And it seems not to have really benefited the poorer people there. And Grenfell kind of epitomised that, as I said. You know, let's cover it in crappy white plastic. Well, it does, it basically, you wrap a building in plastic, it's going to insulate it. Well, okay, so that sorted that problem out. And then, oh, but let's just buy the cheapest, crappiest plastic we can. I do hope they get justice, I really do. A very, very sad and a very, very troubling and dramatic situation when it unfolded, and no reason at the moment why that wouldn't happen again. And I pray for justice. You know, those of you who know me for a long time, Christianity is my faith, and I do. I pray for justice and peace over all this, and that the community will be able to move forward, and that policy will change. I am worried that people will do all they can to thwart that. Whether prosecutions ever come, any of that kind of thing, I don't know, but kind of think they should. Anyway, that's it for now. I'll speak to you tomorrow. And thanks for listening. I'll speak to you tomorrow.